I'm always you better than
See, it's a common theme. I feel passionately about this. Luka Doncic decided he would essentially zip it and play basketball. And boy, did we see an incredible performance from him to lead the Mavericks on the road to a Game 5 victory against the Thunder, now one step away from the conference finals for the first time since they lost to the Warriors back in 22. Is it possible the Dallas Cowboys schedule release gets overshadowed by Luka and the Mavericks tonight?
Shout out to Jack.
And what changed for Luka in this game 5? Coming up in mere moments, we'll be joined by Mike Leslie, sports anchor for WFAA in Dallas, as the Mavs and Stars are both sitting one victory away from the conference finals in their respective sports. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Already seeing a bunch of your responses to our question of the night, which is thus the NFL trying to make us shell out more money for streaming services with the announcement of more Thanksgiving and Christmas Day games, specifically those on streaming. Will you subscribe to extra streaming services like Netflix or Prime or Peacock or YouTube in order to watch? Will you add more streaming services to your portfolio in order to keep up with every NFL game? We're getting some, as I say, some spirited responses so far on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks got contributions from everywhere. It seemed to be about the best game that they've played in this series in terms of Luka, in terms of the responsibilities being divvied up, and yeah, in terms of them playing loose.
We were aggressive. The mindset, you know, whoever's going to come out to be aggressive, it tends to get the lead or control of the game. And so for us, it was attacking the ball, touching the paint, and making plays for one another. I thought the energy was at a high, and the being unselfish was at a high level, too.
And they were able to do that freely, according to Kyrie Irving. The Mavericks have made some changes to their roster. The last time they were in the Western Conference Finals, are they a better team now? If they get to that point, how do they match up with the Denver Nuggets? These are questions we don't have answers to yet. However, Mavericks fans will have a chance to propel their team into that next round coming up in Game 6. We're pleased to welcome Mike Leslie, who's the TV anchor for WFAA Sports and covered the Stars game in Dallas tonight against the Avalanche. They didn't win that one. But before we get to any specifics of these series, Mike, I have to know. The biggest story in Dallas sports right now, is it the Mavs taking Game 5, the Stars and the Avalanche locally, or the Dallas Cowboys releasing their schedule?
I think for once the Dallas Cowboys might actually take a backseat. Not by much, and it does not happen often around here, but I think right now the thing people are fired up the most about is that Mavs win in Oklahoma City. I think people walking out of the arena on Monday night after Game 4, there was a feeling of, well, there went their chance. They could have gone up 3-1. They could have put the Thunder in a hole. They gave away the opportunity. They couldn't shoot free throws. Nice try, but see you next season. Kind of thinking, all right, they're going to go back to Oklahoma City, and that's going to kind of be the end of things. And they went up there and played a fantastic basketball game. Luka in particular. And he's been battling injury, and I mean, there are reasons why he has struggled. But to me, the biggest thing and the most impressive thing about what Luka did tonight, there was a mentality shift. There was a conscious decision, hey, I'm just going to shut up and play ball. And Mavs fans have kind of been asking for that for 5, 6, 8, 14 years. Like, just leave the officials alone and play basketball. And he did that tonight. And he was different. He played different. The entire vibe around the team was a little different. And they went in there and, in a lot of ways, controlled the basketball game. That's the Mavs at their peak. I don't know if that peak is good enough to beat potentially Denver in the next round. Well, you know, but and obviously they've still got a lot of work to be done here with OKC. They've got to win one more and close it out, and the Stars showed tonight how difficult that can be. So I don't mean to forecast too far forward here, but the Mavs zenith, we saw an example of that tonight with Luka. Just, hey, just focus in and play basketball.
I was touting Luka as the league MVP for a good portion of the season. As you mentioned, he's dealing with injuries. This looked a lot more like the Doncic who led the league in scoring. He also mentioned, though, the joy. He wanted to play with more joy, just focus on basketball. How much did you see that with him?
That was the entire thrust of the night for Luka, was to play with that focus, with that joy, with that ease from a mental standpoint, and not get roped up in a lot of the other nonsense. I mean, shoot, I was talking about it with one of my coworkers at WFA down here in Dallas a couple games ago, and I was like, man, if you charted every single time that Luka Doncic drove to the hoop against the number of times that he then followed that drive to the hoop with a complaint to the official, it might be 93% of the time. Like, it's almost every time he goes to the hoop, he's calling, hey, I got hit. Like, and again, this is where I go back to, Mavs fans have been just like, Luka, just play. Just forget all that and play. And to see that tonight was a really good thing, I think, more than anything, forget the fans, for Luka. That was a really good thing for him to be able to find that and know that he can go to that place.
When this team is playing at the highest level, you've got other role players who step up. So how much have you seen the group around Luka grow? And not so much Kyrie, though the two of them had to find a rhythm. But what about guys like Derrick Jones, who has a playoff career high, and PJ Washington, who gets into double digits and has a double-double, actually?
P.J. Washington's been maybe my personal favorite story of these playoffs, the way that he has, as a local kid, grew up in Frisco, just north of Dallas, coming back home and really finding a niche. This is a guy that was kind of in no man's land in Charlotte on a team that wasn't going anywhere, and it's hard to shine in that kind of situation. He comes back home, and in these playoffs, and certainly in this series, he has blossomed really, really nicely. And even tonight, struggling early on, got himself in foul trouble, didn't score in the first half. I was at the Stars game tonight, but as I'm trying to track both games, as we've done quite a bit of recently, looking at that box score at halftime, and I'm going, really? After as well as he has played, leading them in scoring and making such an impact on both ends of the floor, that was surprising. And then he bounces back and hits a couple of big shots, especially late, to help them keep Oklahoma City at bay and continue to make the impact that he makes defensively. He's been a terrific story, and Derrick Jones tonight was outrageous. 6 of 6 in the first half, 3 for 3 from three-point range. He's a guy that I can only imagine Oklahoma City's game, we're going to let him shoot, and he buries all of them and makes them pay for that strategy. His first half is as big a reason the Mavs won this game as any, because that is somewhat out of nowhere, and for him to make that kind of offensive impact for this team puts them in a spot where they can be up by 10 at halftime on the road in a game where everybody thought coming in their mentality was a bit distracted, and they were a little down on themselves. They were very frustrated walking off the floor after Game 4.
Mm.
They lifted themselves right back up tonight.
Mike Leslie is a sports anchor at WFAA in Dallas with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. But Mike, what makes the Thunder such a tough out? In the fourth quarter, another 12-1 run to cut that lead drastically again.
Well, I mean, we saw it in Game 4. SGA is just ridiculous. What he did in Game 4 in Dallas was really, really impressive, and had me walking out of the arena going, all right, you know what? You want to put him second in the MVP voting over Luka? I throw my hands up in the air. Okay, because that was incredible. And we said going into that game, hey, this may be the toughest game for the Mavs to win in this entire series, that Game 4 on their home court, because it was going to be a desperate, aggressive,
basically playing for their season Thunder team, knowing that they can't go back home down 3-1. And we saw that in the fourth quarter, not just from SGA, but also Jalen Williams had a couple of clutch buckets in that fourth quarter after he had been, in my mind, very quiet the first three games of the series. We're probably going to see a very similar mindset from OKC on Saturday back in Dallas, because now they are quite literally playing for their season. And when you have somebody that is as gifted as SGA is, he is incredibly dangerous. So, they, like I said before, they still have an immense amount of work to be done to close out this series.
What should the Thunder expect in that arena on Saturday as the Mavericks have a chance to close out and get back to the conference finals for the first time since 22?
It will be crazy at the AAC on Saturday. There's no two ways about it. That building, honestly, the loudest I have heard that building in these playoffs, this is going to sound a little strange, the loss to the Clippers when they were down 31 and came all the way back to lead that game but ultimately ran out of steam and lost. Kyrie Irving went on a little spurt middle of the second quarter and kind of jump-started that run to get them back into that basketball game. And it was the most surreal thing, because it was like the crowd knew, hey, something just started, and they went bananas. The AAC can get pretty loud. The Mavs fans, Stars fans too, but Mavs fans, the volume with Mavs fans is a little different, and they're going to be pretty fired up on Saturday with a chance to go back to the West Finals.
You mentioned Kyrie, so before I move on to hockey, he did re-sign with the Mavericks after that trade last year. Certainly has been quiet around him, meaning not a whole lot of publicized, talked about drama. How do you think he fits there now after a year?
I think he's incredibly comfortable with this team and within this organization. He has found something that clearly he was not finding in stop after stop before getting here. And I don't know what the shelf life of that is. That may be a permanent thing. I don't know. He seems very comfortable right now. I know there have been times where, you know, things have gone sideways on him, either of his own making or otherwise. So there's still a little bit of wait and see for me on that. But he does seem very at ease. And you listen to him talk in the post-game press conference, and he's very introspective and thoughtful about himself and about this team and where they're going and how they're starting to coalesce as a group. And he just seems at ease. And again, I don't know what the shelf life on that is and if that, you know, has any permanence to it, but at least right now he seems incredibly comfortable.
Mike Leslie is with us from WFAA in Dallas, not just talking about the Mavericks winning Game 5, but also the Stars on their own ice, not able to close out the Avalanche. And you were at this game. The Stars are really shown for the Avalanche in the third period. They're able to get goals from Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. He obviously had a power play goal to tie the game in the second period. What changed in the later stages of this one?
This is an Avs team that you're just not going to be able to keep down for the entirety of a series. This is a team that led the league in scoring this year, 3.68 goals per game. You weren't going to just string together five straight games of holding them to a goal or two and say, see ya. It was never going to be that easy. At some point, MacKinnon and Makar, they were going to break out and have at least a game like this. I can't help but want to go back to the goals they scored right before the end of the first period and how much that changed just from a mental standpoint the way that this game was going to flow. Dallas was 6/10 of a second away from going back to the dressing room with a 1-0 lead and just needing to kill off about 20-25 seconds worth of that power play coming back out to start the second period. How different might this game have felt if they were able to just get that second more without giving up that power play goal to tie it up 1-1 late in the first? At some point, they were going to break through. Tonight was absolutely that night. The Avalanche skated much better tonight, I feel like, than they have early on in this series. And Dallas was a little clunkier with the puck tonight than we have seen at any point so far. again, there was bound to be at least a game like this in the series, but now Dallas, which they've bounced back well in these playoffs. We saw them go down 0-2 to Vegas and bounce back very well. We saw them go down 0-1 in this series in a game where they outplayed Colorado for the majority of that game, but for the about 20-minute stretch where they allowed the Avalanche to come all the way back, then outplayed them in overtime and yet didn't get the winner. So there's a lot of reason for Dallas to feel like they still have the upper hand in this series, but Joe Pavelski did say tonight in the dressing room afterward that they feel like they let an opportunity get away from them tonight to be able to close this thing out on their home ice. And he said, "Listen, we're not playing. We're not trying to win because we want rest. We're trying to win because we want to advance to the conference final." But they certainly wouldn't mind having gotten, you know, a couple extra days to let their bodies heal up and be ready for the West Final. And they just at least frittered away two of those days worth of rest that they could have otherwise had.
What makes them so good on the road?
This isn't just the playoffs. This is all through the regular season. They were the best team in hockey on the road, 26-10-5 on the road during the regular season. And then they backed it up in the playoffs in Vegas. They've done it now in Colorado. To me, the thing that was most impressive about going to Colorado, you're talking about an Avalanche team that won their two home games in the first round 11-3. Dallas flips that around on them on their home ice and outscores them 9-2 in those two games. That is a radical shift. I think it just comes down to they're just a really very good hockey team, and they travel really. It's a veteran team between Pavelski and Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. Nothing changes for them, and they just go out and play their game, whether they're at the AAC or anywhere else.
Mike, this may not be fair, but is there a game that stands out on the Dallas Cowboys schedule?
When I tell you I gave that about 14 seconds worth of a look, published it on Twitter and Facebook, and
yep.
Went back to the hockey, I have not even had a chance to diagnose it. I saw the Browns game came down yesterday. I've given that very little look to this point. The Niners game is always going to stick out. I do remember that one being it's a Sunday nighter, if I'm remembering
yes.
Right, in Week 8. That one is definitely one to look forward to because, again, that's the Cowboys' 800-pound gorilla in the room. Like, they get past them or your season's kind of not really worth a whole lot.
So Mike Leslie's got a lot to juggle these days, but I appreciate that you actually had an answer for that because I'm with you. There's a lot more going on. The schedule release seems important only because the NFL tells us it's important in the month of May. So you can find Mike on Twitter at Mike Leslie, LESLIEWFAA, sports anchor there, covering Mavs and Stars and Cowboys and Rangers. We appreciate a couple of minutes. I know it's been a busy few days. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks, Amy.
Good to hear from Mike about these two playoff teams that are on the brink of the Final Four. But how about him coming up with one of the games on the Cowboys schedule? No, you're not going to hear me predict wins for each of the NFL teams. But what we are asking you, we'll get to some of your answers coming up. Are you going to subscribe to other services that stream games? Simply for that reason, because they stream games. So if you're adding Netflix, I get it. If you don't have Netflix, there's maybe 18 of us left on the planet. You are considered old and uncool because everybody has Netflix, right? Just not me. I don't have Netflix. And honestly, I'm not sure that I need it. I really don't feel like I've missed out on much to this point by not having it. The rest of my family has it. And every now and then when I'm hanging out with my nieces, they'll binge watch a series on Netflix. Something about tattoos. There was one that they really, shoot, I forgot
Ink
the name.
Master.
But yes, Ink Masters. And also, there's another one about Married at First Sight.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I've binged a couple of series with them, only with them. I've never watched these series on my own. So I know that there are a lot of great series and products on Netflix that people really love. I just have never felt the need to grab it. And we're kind of at our max when it comes to streaming services because I still pay for cable too. I can't cover this business and sports without having cable, regular cable. And so I won't. I'll just use the radio. But that makes me maybe old and uncool in the eyes of many. That's fine. What about you? Will you add more streaming services? Because the NFL is adding more streaming services. On Twitter, at Amy After Hours, our show account, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's changing faster and deeper. Consumers are moving off of pay television services and going into digital streaming services and platforms. And we as the NFL have to be able to reach our fans there.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, describes this new formula in a way that makes it seem like the league is reacting to what fans are doing, not setting the new standard, not raising the bar, not chasing the money with streaming services, willing to experiment, even if it means alienating some fans. No, he's saying, would you like me to translate? In order to reach younger fans, this is one of the ways we'll do it. And oh yeah, these streaming services are willing to pay a hell of a lot of money. All you got to do is look at the price tag for one or two games on a streaming service or what Amazon is paying for Thursday night football and soon adding playoff games. And so we're asking you, because the leagues are going to do this regardless. NFL, NBA ratings on traditional TV, even cable TV, have tanked. Now, the NFL doesn't have that issue. Its ratings on network TV continue to rise. And we know people will watch sports on regular TV because Caitlin Clark. And so it's not like we've stopped watching as a nation, as a society, we've stopped watching all sports on TV. That's just dumb. Again, the ratings that set records during college basketball, both men and women, the NFL viewership continuing to gain traction while every other genre in regular TV is essentially backpedaling when it comes to viewership numbers, the NFL continues to gain ground. So the league is adding people and is adding viewers to its traditional TV broadcasts, but the money is in streaming. The extra money, I should say. You may remember, I've referenced this multiple times here on the show over the last 10 years. Roger Goodell's stated goal is for the NFL to reach $25 billion a year in annual revenue. You're not going to be able to sell several extra billion dollars worth of merchandise. You can raise ticket prices. You're not going to make a couple extra billion dollars in ticket sales, because you're not adding that many seats to your stadiums, even when you build new ones. The way the NFL makes more money is A, more corporate sponsors, which now includes betting companies and sports books, right? Like, that's all new money in the last couple years. Because of the number of states that have legalized gambling, once the top came off that Pandora's box, or that genie in the bottle came out of the bottle, well, that was a whole new revenue source for the NFL and for other sports leagues. And so is this. There has to be new revenue streams for the NFL to reach $25 billion a year in annual revenue. This is why I tell you that Roger Goodell's job is never in jeopardy. He'll walk away when he chooses to walk away. Maybe when his contract is up. That's kind of been the report out there, this next contract. He's making money for the owners with his leadership and with his front office, the NFL front office, hand over fist. And they continue to add to their revenue streams with not just new betting partnerships and sportsbook partnerships and new corporate sponsorships in the betting space, but also with the increased TV ratings, they can charge their network partners more money per broadcast. And you've also got a clamoring to carry any NFL product. Streaming services, network TV, there are bidding wars for the rights to stream or broadcast these games, especially in the playoffs, where the numbers skyrocket. And so what we're asking is, will you add streaming services? Trust me when I say, as much as the league is monitoring the numbers, they're going to continue putting games on streaming regardless of whether or not they get the same types of viewership numbers that they get on TV. They never will. I mean, there are, I know this sounds funny, but we're in this era with our society where baby boomers are the largest people group, if that makes sense, right? So you're talking about an aging, in that respect, an aging part of our population, many of whom, believe it or not, don't have internet access or don't stream. So my mom is in her late 70s, mid to late 70s. She's actually just about to retire. So she's finally made the decision to retire from full-time teaching. She and her husband, who's younger than her, have just recently gotten rid of cable and added essentially a Fire Stick, if you will. And they have a few different streaming services, but they borrow some of my passwords. They don't pay for any of their own streaming other than Amazon Prime. So I will let them use my streaming services to allow them to watch other things if that's what they want to do. But for the most part, my Grammy Helen, she never had internet. Now, she was obviously not baby boomer. She was in her 80s and 90s, but she didn't ever have the internet. She never had an email account. There is an entire segment of our population that doesn't use the internet for anything other than, say, email and watching memes on Facebook, things like that. My new mother-in-law, she doesn't stream anything. She watches a lot of stuff on the internet, but she doesn't have any streaming services herself. So there are still going to be people who watch on network TV, and those numbers will continue to grow, which is why the NFL is this crazy phenomenon that all the other leagues want to be when they grow up. They want to be like the NFL. So with the announcement of more of these games moving to streaming, including holiday games, will you subscribe, she said, will you subscribe to other streaming services in order to watch? Some of your answers are hysterical. So starting with Twitter, at Amy After Hours, Ryan says, no, I should probably just start going to all the games. It might actually be cheaper. Let's see. Michelle says, no, 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 don't have Prime or Netflix. Refuse to add another service. She says, NFL Network, Red Zone, and Peacock are enough. The couple non-TV games I catch on Westwood One. Ooh, we love Westwood One around here. She says, that's good enough for me. Thank you, Michelle. Sean says, I'll just head to a sports bar somewhere. I already pay too much for Peacock and other services. I'm not adding another streamer that I'll only use for these games. Jeffrey says, might pay for the NFL app. Otherwise, no. Some of you are sending us memes and GIFs that feature Steve Carell and Ryan Reynolds. Jason says, I have NFL League Pass. You can get any game you want. True. It's expensive, though. I can't afford it. It's out of my price range. Marco Belletti is here in studio. Do you ever get the question? Maybe you don't. I get it frequently on social. Doesn't the company pay for these things? Right, exactly. Doesn't the company pay for you to have streaming services?
Yeah.
No.
I think I saw a coin slot on the water fountain out there before.
Right. One more from Twitter. Melvin says, last year I didn't watch the games on Prime, even though I have it, just because I don't want to encourage this. The NFL doesn't care. I hate to break it to you. I'm trying to do it gently. He says, these Christmas games this year are ridiculous as well. I'm not watching football on a Tuesday. It's a Wednesday. I think we finally reached the point of too much. I don't know, Marco, what do you think? I think it's about the money, and the NFL doesn't really care how many people add subscriptions because they're getting the money anyway. But are you in a space where you're going to keep adding streaming services?
Probably you
have kiddos.
Yeah, probably not. It depends on what it is and where it is. Like, I'll be fair. I had Peacock already. So when the playoff game was on Peacock, it didn't bother me because I already had it. So it didn't really matter. Did I want it to be on Peacock? No. But that's selfishly for the fact that it's too much of a pain in the ass to change the channel when you're on the streaming service. That's my issue. Like, we got to get to the point where, why did we go back 50 years? I got to watch commercials now. What the hell just happened? So that's the part that makes me nuts. But will I add more for that? Like, Netflix right now, I don't have any more because I was sharing, stealing, whatever you want to call it, a password. And I don't have that ability anymore because they stopped that.
Yes.
And I didn't add it. I didn't go back in to say, you know what, let me add. So will I do it just for the two games on Christmas? No, I'll be fair. No, because it's Christmas Day that night. Sure, would I want to watch the game if I'm finally the night's over and get in front of the TV and get on the couch? I would love to. Am I going to pay for something extra? No, probably not, because I'm not going to necessarily add another because there's too many.
Yeah.
This is just too much. We're getting to the point where everything is too much, and it's not yelling at the clouds. It's just financial. When you start looking at things and you're going, I'm paying this much for this, I'm paying this much for that, and you go, oh, what's another $7? You multiply it six times, and it adds up monthly. And you really got to get to the point where you just got to make some tough choices.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I mean, these are hard choices. I wish I could add all the streaming services. I could have access to anything I want. But instead, my husband and I were cutting things that we don't use on a regular basis because the expenses monthly add up. And gas and groceries and mortgage and we've just got a few things we have to improve around the house. I mean, these are things that take priority, not to mention traveling to visit our families and everything else. And so we just have drawn a hard line. We can only have what we have, and we're trying to cut other things. Like, for instance, you're going to laugh at me. I had a landline in my home, a phone landline in my home, until we went to Hawaii. I canceled it. I've had one my entire life. And part of the reason is because, A, it's a clear signal. So I do radio interviews on other stations and outlets for that purpose. I would have a clear landline. But also my Grammy Helen, because of her hearing aids, really couldn't hear me well on a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And so I kept it. And I just hadn't canceled it. But you know what? It was $25 a month. We weren't using it a lot. So I decided... Most interviews and podcasts I do these days are online anyway. We got rid of it. So we're having to make those types of choices about things that we really don't need. We'd like them in a perfect world. I'd like to fly first class everywhere I went in a perfect world. But we've got to make, as you say, tough choices for expenses.
Again, we all have a budget. Some are better than others. We all have one at some point. And if you don't, good for you. But most of us have to make those choices and make those decisions. And again, it comes down to, you know, do I want to watch the two games one day out of the year? Sure. Right. Is that more important, let's say, just in a streaming thing, for my kids who watch Disney feels like 20 hours a day whenever their eyes are open? I'm going to wind up choosing that.
Yeah.
So there's got to be things that, you know, you got to have a give and take. Sometimes it's for you. Sometimes it's for whoever else is in your home. Or sometimes it's just, you know what? I can't do this for streaming because if we keep doing this, someone's not going to eat today. So that's, you know, we all got to make whatever choices we got to make. Is the NFL going to care? No. They don't care about any of us. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about anybody. Do they even care about they care to a point of their partners getting more subscriptions because it means more money to them. But in reality, do they care if Netflix gets an influx of people? No, because they got the money first. They're going to care if Netflix doesn't come back to them in however many years, however long this deal is that they have.
Three for right now.
To come back and give them more money in 3 years to give them more for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they care. But in reality, they don't care if you're Christmas Day, if you're watching the game or not. They don't.
Mm-mm.
They don't. And
it's
that's
crazy
just, that's
because
the way it is.
Last year it was so popular, the Christmas Day games. They got great viewership numbers on actual TV. And it's, but now they're jumping them.
And we used to complain it was on
Netflix.
NFL Network.
Right.
Because not everybody had NFL Network. And now it's like, oh, wow, it's on NFL Network. Great. I mean, it's out of control, yes. But I don't know. And there's a tipping point. And so whatever this is with streaming and whatnot, we have to get to the point where, because none of us can be able to afford all of these
things. Very few of us, right.
So there's the idea that we're going to get there. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the end game is. I don't know if it's, you know, all the streaming services cannibalize each other to get to the point where we wind up winning because they get bought out and we wind up getting two or three in one package because they can't all sustain.
Seems like that's
because we can't
happening.
All sustain.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the end game is. I'm not smart enough to know that. But I do know there's got to be something that comes up because I don't know anyone in my life that's got everything. You always talk, I got some of this, I got some of that, I got some. No one has everything. And if now they're going to get to the point again, like Netflix, where you can't share passwords, none of us have the budget for these things. And again, very few of us. And the ones that do are really not part of this conversation because they don't make choices.
Yeah.
Those are the things that are just
sports
in front of them.
Bars.
They don't know why.
Sports bars have got to be celebrating this because it generally means they'll see more people coming to their places to watch games if they don't individually have the streaming services. We'll take your calls here coming up. A few people want to weigh in. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Cast.
have not seen any elevation of injuries. You know, you all and we have had a major focus on Thursday night when we first put it in, and we've still not seen any kind of elevation of injuries. So I think we have this down.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I've told you this in the past. The NFL has urban sprawl. Once they take over some real estate, we'll call it eminent domain for those of you who know that term, that that power that the government has. The NFL has eminent domain. And once they take over another piece of real estate, a different day on the weekly calendar, another holiday, another streaming service, they're not giving it back. They don't take it. Establish a new pattern like football on Christmas Day and then give it back. And now they're going one step further, and on Christmas, not only broadcasting games, second straight Christmas that they'll do this on Tuesday or Monday and Wednesday, excuse me, but they're going to put them on Netflix. I know I may be one of the only peeps in America who doesn't have Netflix under the age of 60, but I'm not adding it. I'll listen on the radio because I do love my SiriusXM. I do enjoy local calls. I'm a huge fan of Westwood One. I've worked for Westwood One for years, so I'm okay with that. I know not everybody is. So will you add more streaming services? Is this the year that you jump into Amazon Prime or Peacock because you have FOMO? 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, lots of great responses. We're going to get to those on Facebook as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Tony is listening in Oregon. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to watch it. I live in a country setting where I'm lucky to have one or two bars on my phone. So if I try to stream, I spend half the time buffering.
Oh, no.
It'd be a complete waste of time or money for me to try to watch the game on Netflix.
That's a good point. Actually, do you remember when Yahoo had a game from London not that long ago? It's kind of early in the international experiment. And I remember I tried watching it on Yahoo, and my computer spent the entire time buffering. And I think also the first season of Amazon Prime, there were a lot of technical difficulties with it as well. So yeah, it does take, I think, a little integration and figuring out what works and what doesn't on the streaming services. But yeah, you can certainly, if your internet goes out, you know, if you have issues with your service or your internet speed, absolutely, you can pay for it and still not get what you paid for.
Yeah, as I'm talking to you now, I got one bar of Verizon service where I live.
Gotcha. Well, I can hear you loud and clear, Tony. Thank you so much for using your one bar on After Hours.
Thank you. Nice to have you back.
Oh, I appreciate that. Brandon's in Chicago. Brandon, what do you think about the streaming in the NFL?
Hi. This is a real treat. I have the biggest auditory crush on you. I love your Bob and Penny stories. What's Bob's dog's name?
Daisy. She's not a Daisy.
It sounds like a barrel of monkeys. I can't stand baseball. So your side stories get me through the summer. I really do enjoy them.
Thank you, Brandon.
I'm not an expert, but I mean, I don't even pay taxes. But couldn't the streaming services be tax deductible? You get like a letter. I'm sure Jim Rome wrote you a letter or something. I'm sure they could knock off something.
If Jim Rome wrote me a letter,
I'm joking. I'm joking. But wouldn't it be tax deductible if you are in the
I use them for work?
Yeah.
Yes. So I mentioned this earlier. They are in fact work expenses. However, the federal tax laws changed not that long ago, so now you cannot deduct a lot of the expenses that you used to deduct on taxes. They are deductible in some states, but typical work expenses that I used to be able to write off, I can't anymore, like travel for work, that type of thing. So it's not the same. Again, the tax laws changed about 4 years ago. And so I do my own taxes and I follow the laws pretty closely. So it's not the same write off as it used to be. But yes, it is a work expense for sure.
Well, it's like I said, it's been a real treat. Thank you so much for speaking
with
me. I have a great day.
Thanks, Brandon. I appreciate the advice. It's very kind of you. Paul, we'll get to your call after the top of the hour. For a second there, I thought he was serious about Jim Rome writing me a letter, because you know Jim Rome's big time. And if Jim Rome tells the IRS that we work for the same company, then they'll have to take Jim's word for it.
Was he serious about not paying his taxes, or did we miss that one?
Right. No, I think that was serious. I don't even he just kind of nonchalantly slipped it in there. Well, but there are reasons why people don't pay taxes. For instance, if you don't make enough money income-wise to pay federal taxes, but you can always get money back. Federal government does like to give money to people. Not even have to be people in the United States of America. Okay, I digress. Halfway through, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network. 27 on Twitter, A Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We have not seen any elevation of injuries. You all, and we have had a major focus on Thursday night when we first put it in, and we've still not seen any kind of elevation of injuries. So I think we have this down.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I've told you this in the past. The NFL has urban sprawl. Once they take over some real estate, we'll call it eminent domain for those of you who know that term, that power that the government has. The NFL has eminent domain. And once they take over another piece of real estate, a different day on the weekly calendar, another holiday, another streaming service, they're not giving it back. They don't take it. Establish a new pattern like football on Christmas Day and then give it back. And now they're going one step further, and on Christmas, not only broadcasting games, second straight Christmas that they'll do this on Tuesday or Monday and Wednesday, excuse me, but they're going to put them on Netflix. I know I may be one of the only peeps in America who doesn't have Netflix under the age of 60, but I'm not adding it. I'll listen on the radio because I do love my SiriusXM. I do enjoy local calls. I'm a huge fan of Westwood One. I've worked for Westwood One for years, so I'm okay with that. I know not everybody is. So will you add more streaming services? Is this the year that you jump into Amazon Prime or Peacock because you have FOMO? 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A Law Radio, lots of great responses. We're going to get to those on Facebook as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Tony is listening in Oregon. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to watch it. I live in a country setting where I'm lucky to have one or two bars on my phone. So if I try to stream, I spend half the time buffering.
Oh, no.
It'd be a complete waste of time or money for me to try to watch the games on Netflix.
That's a good point. Actually, do you remember when Yahoo had a game from London not that long ago? It's kind of early in the international experiment. And I remember I tried watching it on Yahoo, and my computer spent the entire time buffering. And I think also the first season of Amazon Prime, there were a lot of technical difficulties with it as well. So yeah, it does take, I think, a little integration and figuring out what works and what doesn't on the streaming services. But yeah, you can certainly, if your internet goes out, if you have issues with your service or your internet speed, absolutely, you can pay for it and still not get what you paid for.
Yeah, as I'm talking to you now, I got one bar of Verizon service where I live.
Gotcha. Well, I can hear you loud and clear, Tony. Thank you so much for using your one bar on After Hours.
Thank you. Nice to have you back.
Oh, I appreciate that. Brandon's in Chicago. Brandon, what do you think about the streaming in the NFL?
Hi. This is a real treat. I have the biggest auditory crush on you. I love your Bob and Penny stories. What's Bob's dog's name?
Daisy. And she's not a Daisy.
Oh, it sounds like a barrel of monkeys. I can't stand baseball. So your side stories get me through the summer. I really do enjoy them.
Thank you, Brandon.
I'm not an expert, but I mean I don't even pay taxes. But couldn't the streaming services be tax deductible? You get like a letter. I'm sure Jim Rome wrote you a letter or something. I'm sure they could knock off something.
If Jim Rome wrote me a letter,
I'm joking. I'm joking. But wouldn't it be tax deductible if you use
them for work?
Yeah.
Yes. Right. So I mentioned this earlier. They are, in fact, work expenses. However, the federal tax laws changed not that long ago. So now you cannot deduct a lot of the expenses that you used to deduct on taxes. They are deductible in some states, but typical work expenses that I used to be able to write off, I can't anymore, like travel for work, that type of thing. So it's not the same. Again, the tax laws changed about 4 years ago. And so I do my own taxes and I follow the laws pretty closely. So it's not the same write-off as it used to be. But yes, it is a work expense for sure.
Well, it's like I said, it's been a real treat. Thank you so much for speaking
with
me. I have a great day.
Thanks, Brandon. I appreciate the advice. It's very kind of you. Paul, we'll get to your call after the top of the hour. For a second there, I thought he was serious about Jim Rome writing me a letter because, you know, Jim Rome's big time. And if Jim Rome tells the IRS that we work for the same company, then they'll have to take Jim's word for it.
Was he serious about not paying his taxes, or did we miss that one?
Right. No, I think that was serious. I don't even he just kind of nonchalantly slipped it in there. Well, but there are reasons why people don't pay taxes. For instance, if you don't make enough money income-wise to pay federal taxes, but you can always get money back. Federal government does like to give money to people. Not even have to be people in the United States of America. Okay, I digress. Halfway through, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.